Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
So we wanted to chat about this conversation as well, because there has been, and there always is, of course, a significant fraud in South Africa, in places around the world as well. But how much more risk is there because of online banking? Is this something that we should be steering clear of? And that's not even realistic. It's not something that we can expect it to do. But how do we navigate this field? Nichelle Mwalali, who's the CEO of South African Bank Risk Information Centre. Good morning, Nichelle. How are you doing?
Hi, good morning, Owen, and good morning to the listeners. Thank you for having me on the show.
So, great pleasure. How are we doing in South Africa in terms of banking fraud?
Well, there's quite a number of pieces of research out there. It's not so much just about banking fraud, it's about cybercrime. Banking fraud, in terms of digital fraud, is a subset of cybercrime. So if you look at what some of the authors are saying out there with some research, you know, cybersecurity firm Surfshark recently said that South Africa rated 60 in the world for cybercrime density, meaning, you know, around 50 incidents for every 1 million users. And we had another piece of research that came out from the African, the 2021 African Threat Assessment.
Yes.
It said that we had the highest number of targeted ransomware incidents and BEC business email compromises in Africa. And then closer to home, Accenture said SA had the third highest number of cyber victims in the world. So what's clear, even when we look at the cyber statistics, what's clear is that South Africa is certainly a country of interest for cyber criminals. And that's why your digital applications or digital crime on your banking apps are targeted.
So in terms of, isn't it a bit of a double-edged sword? Because in many ways, our move to a more cashless environment is safer in the sense that people are less at risk because they're not walking around with cash on them. So from that point of view, there can be a reduction in crime. We also can follow the payments through an online channels if it's paid online. But obviously there are opportunities to defraud people or to trick people more online than in cash.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's more opportunities online. I think when we look at whether it's be conventional banking, where you and I were a few years ago, you know, walk through the branch and did our deposits or ask for a home loan, whether you follow that channel came with all the necessary risks as well.
Right.
We already saw and we reported that there was a massive increase, in excess of a 43% increase in robberies that happened with the banking customers prior to them going in and making their deposits. So on both sides, there's risks. The difference, though, is that when we're dealing with online, the channel itself is 100% safe. The issue is human vulnerability.
Absolutely, and, right. There's no
victims,
question.
Yeah, correct. When we become victims, it's sometimes our own doing.
I mean, I'm getting so many emails from the post office saying I just need to pay whatever I need to pay in order to get my package. Now, I don't know how anyone thinks that the post office is still delivering goods and they're that efficient that all we... So, you know, I think they need to change it a little bit in South Africa because there's no chance our post office is doing this. But that said, my wife happened to be caught with one of these courier things because everybody's ordering things online and somehow you kind of make sense of it. And she was rushing around and she got this email to say they'll only deliver her whatever she had ordered. Well, they didn't say what it was, but she assumed it's what it was. And she went in, made a payment, and in fact, that put in a very different amount and it was quite a significant situation. But that's exactly right. It was us not being vigilant and saying, but hold on, what is this? I think what we do, human nature, is to make sense of something. So she assumed it was something else. She was rushing around, wanted to get it done, and quickly did that and didn't follow the process properly.
Yeah, look, we need to have an appreciation for what the criminal is doing on the other end, right? I mean, they would send out hundreds of thousands of similar types of emails saying that, you know, you need to pay for something. It's a chance that they take, assuming that they may be out of this hundreds of thousands of emails that they would send, they would potentially get 5 or 10 people who would be actually expecting to receive something, and they would then proceed with the transaction. So, you know, there's a word for that. It's called phishing.
Yes.
It's
yes,
exactly, you know, it's with a P though.
Right.
And it's a kind of like phishing. If you went in, you put a line out there and see which fish is going to bite.
Right.
So that's exactly how this works. They run these campaigns, flooding the inboxes with these kinds of solicitations, and often people fall for it.
And they do. I mean, they do fall for it. And unfortunately, is there recourse?
Yeah, unfortunately, it becomes very difficult. It really depends on the type of channel that you've used. So let me give you an example. If you went online, you've accessed a link, you've punched in your details, and then these cyber criminals capture your details and process the transaction, it's very difficult for you to get any recourse against a bank or something like that. With a credit card transaction, you know, you could try and phone the bank and ask them to block the transaction for you, and you could see what the possibilities are. But often, I have seen in almost every case where a customer gives off their information voluntarily, their own, ultimately they become responsible for what happens, even though the bank takes steps to try and block the account receiving it, or try and trace and investigate who these individuals are. Ultimately, it's your loss.
Yeah. And are we expecting, you know, we see a lot of increase in crime in general this time of year, November, December. Does the same thing correspond to online crime?
Yeah, so certainly as we go into the festive season, you're going to be seeing, like now in a few weeks' time, there's going to be a massive increase in online transactions because of the Black Fridays,
yes,
deals that would run. Certainly, all banks report on a massive, massive scale in terms of credit card transactions that go through. So in that space, people have got to watch out for fake websites or websites that sell inferior product, you know, purporting to be the genuine thing, and then get some inferior thing being sent to you. You need to watch out for the clicking of the links, because they are definitely going to be harvesting your information.
Right.
And then as we go into the festive season, the issues there are like scams around gifts people buy, holiday scams. You know, you want to book some accommodation and spend some time in a beautiful place with your family, and unfortunately you are misled and your money is stolen. So these are quite cyclic. You know, every year around the festive season, we see the same types of modus operandi, because criminals understand what would be the focus that time of the year of the citizen.
Right. It is 8:27. Very, very interesting. And I'd love your thoughts and your reaction, please. We are talking, and we have been speaking about the risk of online, the importance of cyber security in terms of online banking. That was Nishal Mewahalal, who is the CEO of the South African Bank Risk Information Center.